Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Picard brings back the long-held tradition of bringing an Enterprise captain out of retirement when they should just go and die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just go off somewhere, crawl under a house like a sick dog and die.
Or like a gantry that's collapsed.
Maybe. Exactly.
Yeah. Going to this movie hard straight away.
Hey, look.
Yes?
First of all, probably not a good time to ask, but if you could leave this video a like, that'd be terrific.
I mean, even if you or someone you love has been crushed under a gantry.
Sure.
I mean, look past that to us, your good friends on the internet, and give us a like.
Agreed. I guess to be completely transparent about my fandom for Star Trek, I'm very much a casual fan. I mean, I know more than your man on the street, I'd imagine.
Because you're going to point at me and go, I know more than you, obviously.
No, I definitely don't. But in my group of friends,
yeah, sure.
I'm easily the one that they would beat up for knowing too much 100%. About Star Trek.
So you, as far as you, well, that's the thing. Maybe you and some of your friends know an equal amount about Star Trek, but none of you dare to say anything in that group because you are all worried that if you say anything about the Enterprise, you'll get beaten up.
Exactly. You know? So, you know, I know your crews and your captains and your eras, and I've seen some of the movies and some of the series, but where are you on this?
I've seen most of everything. You like the new one. You like Discovery, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Right, but I'm not like a hardcore fan, so it doesn't matter to me.
Because
I know there's a lot of people who get caught up in the lore, and I know it's not historically accurate and all of those things to things that actually happened in that time period. But what I do enjoy about that are the characters.
No. There were genetically engineered super soldiers of the 90s.
That's true.
That happened.
Like, I like Michael Burnham. I really like Pike. I like the new Spock. Anyway, we're not talking about that because we're talking about...
Okay, so what we're talking about is, I don't know if you're right. I know enough about the Star Trek franchise to know all the even-numbered Star Treks are good.
Yep.
And all the odd-numbered Star Treks are bad.
If you count Galaxy Quest.
Is that true?
Apparently that fixes the kind
I was going to say that in the reboot continuity, all the odd ones.
Because it was Insurrection, then it was Nemesis, both of which are not loved. Not
particularly great.
But in between.
Right. Galaxy Quest.
Fucking Galaxy Quest,
But of course in the reboot continuity, all the odd ones are good and the even ones are bad.
Mm.
Because the second one obviously was a remake of the...
Yes.
Anyway, look, we're doing Seven, so it's a bad one.
Yeah, right. So 1994, it was just off the back of the end of the final generation of captains. The show was called, yes? The Final Time.
It's going to be this the whole time.
The bold man, he'll be back, but in a movie. Is that what it was called?
That's how it ended, yeah. Yeah. It ended with the Enterprise flying off into space and Q, the omnipotent being, he floated out into camera frame and he went, the bald man is gone, but he'll be back later. About 6 months later for the movies.
That's right. This aims to tie together the original crew with the Next Generation.
Yes.
Off the back of The Undiscovered Country, which was a movie that was apparently going to end with Kirk handing over the Enterprise to Picard, but Gene Roddenberry stepped on that because he's like, no, there's like 80 years between these dudes. Like, there's no way that's going to work. And he was opposed to teaming them up in any way, shape, or form.
But then he died?
Luckily, he died, yes. Yeah, right. So they were able to pull this off.
Oh, what a stroke of luck.
To a mixed reception?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, my response at the time was certainly a bit lukewarm, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But in rewatching this, not bad, I think.
It's all right.
Okay, then.
I think it's pretty lukewarm. I think it's Jean-Luc Picard warm. Thank you, everybody.
Did you write that down?
I didn't, but I want everybody
you should write now. We can put it on your tombstone.
If everyone could hold their applause to the end of the video as well, that would
chisel
be terrific.
It on your tombstone. This felt to me like just a kind of longish episode.
Yeah.
Of probably more of the Next Generation than anything else.
I feel like there's less thought into this, though, in terms of plotting and motivations and what is anything in this and what's happening and why.
Yeah, okay, that's
and not
true.
Because it's confusing, like, this is a mile a minute, I can't keep up with this, uh-huh. But just because I don't understand the plans that are kind of unfolding here.
Okay, well, Malcolm McDowell,
yeah.
He wants to get a space ribbon to a planet, and then he's, I assume, going to eat the space ribbon.
Yep.
And in eating the space ribbon, he's going to end up in a magical fantasy land where everything's cool,
sure.
Right? Which is where, if you recall, Captain Kirk ends up.
Yep.
Because at the start of this movie, they're launching the Enterprise B, the new Enterprise, and mm-hmm. he's not the captain anymore. It's one of the guys from Spin City.
Yes.
He's been promoted to captain of the Enterprise, and he's a little bit tentative
about...
He's just finding his feet. I did like there's some kind of bit of banter between some of the original cast members.
Yeah.
So we've got Kirk and Scotty.
You nearly said Spock.
And Chekhov.
Refused to return. Apparently Leonard Nimoy was asked to direct,
oh.
And he said these lines are also so generic that they could give it to anybody, so they did. They just gave them
right,
to other characters, other
makes
returning
a lot of
characters.
Sense. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm. So anyway, the ribbon shows up.
Yep.
And it's
hello, it's me, the ribbon!
Hello, it's me, the cosmic space ribbon. Come with me to a lovely fantasy land.
You're gonna love it.
But anyway, it's destroying ships and stuff, and then Kirk, he saves the day, but of course, he's blown out of the spaceship. Everybody assumes he's dead, but he's not.
No.
In a magical fantasy land.
That's right, exactly.
But time has no meaning.
Cut to the future / the past. Yes. Holodeck situation. They're on a ship. They have
a jaunty... That felt very The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just a jaunty making one of your crew members walk the plank. I'm like, this is some D&D nerd stuff. Really, everybody's having a Ren Faire recreation of a pirate situation. Yeah, pretty fun.
Yeah. The other thing about that scene is I went down this rabbit hole of how the holodeck works.
Yep.
And apparently, according to my research,
yes.
Please yell at me if I'm wrong in the comments, but it's a combination of holograms.
Correct.
And also physical recreations of things like water and substances you can touch and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they can make food from anything. It's the same situation.
And also there's some weird perspective stuff as well. And there's also treadmills in the ground.
Of course there is,
but there's there's like some...
it's like the danger room from X-Men.
Like, yeah, because there's a limited amount of actual space.
Yeah.
But what it does, I think, is it can trick your perspective. So if somebody's standing next to you physically, they can appear to be... miles
I didn't know
away.
That.
So it's
right.
Like an unlimited, so it appears to be an unlimited amount of space.
Yeah, right.
But also there's treadmills in the ground.
I bet if I ran fast enough, I could hit a wall. You give me a few minutes in there, I could hit every wall in that room.
That's
mate.
Right.
Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, they'd really have to call in the occupational health and safety inspector. And, you could do it. I believe in you.
I would paint the walls in my own blood, Mason, to prove a point.
Uh-huh. And then they'd be like, a memo would be sent around, be like, we're removing all the holodecks from all the Starfleet ships. And you'd be like, I did that.
I ruined everything.
Yeah,
for everyone.
That's right. I'm the best.
Couple of questions. Do you think Shatner's wig holds up?
You know, it didn't. I think it's fine.
It's too thick at the front.
You think so?
Who's he fooling there?
Well, me, maybe.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, it's a staple and probably also staple to his head.
Nice.
But of that character, he's kind of always maybe worn a wig. You've kind of never seen him without it. You know, even in the original series,
true,
maybe
there's
rumors that he was losing his hair like very, very early on in his life.
See.
But hey, whatever, man. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, you know what's one thing I do like about this movie?
Okay.
I like that the Nexus is basically the good place, for one.
Oh, yes.
And also, the Shatner-Picard energy together is good. I think they bounce off each other well.
Yeah.
I think they missed a trick in throwing him away for like 120 minutes in this movie.
Right.
And then bringing him back. I know it's a Next Generation movie. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're going to give him kind of the last go at this.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Also, it's kind of, it's barely even a passing of the torch because it happens with no other crew members around.
Yeah.
So Picard could be like, yeah, Kirk said I'm the best captain and he's wishing me luck. You guys didn't say that.
But
he's dead now.
We're in the rift.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Who do you prefer? I know it's a hot topic. Well, it's widely debated.
Don't make me choose.
Do you like the cavalier attitude
of
Jean-Luc Picard?
No, you tricked. No, that's
am I doing this right?
No, he doesn't have
Do
that.
You like the button-down British to French nature of Shatner?
Yes.
Is that what you enjoy?
I like it's apples and oranges these
I like
guys.
Picard. Mm. What about you?
Well, then if you're going to make me pick, then I'm going to say Kirk.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
But I think I like Patrick Stewart more than I like William Shatner. So
that's pretty widely.
argument there. Okay, right.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say this of Shatner.
Yes.
That dude can fucking swing an axe. Like often you see swinging axes in movies, and I'm like, that guy's never split a block of wood in his life.
Right.
But Shatner, he's probably got a ranch where he's just splitting wood all day. Mm. Almost certainly, yeah. You know what one of my favorite moments of this is?
What's that?
When Jean-Luc Picard, that cavalier captain, that reckless man running about. You know what he's like.
He's a renegade, yeah.
He absolutely is.
Yeah.
Where he figures out that Zorin's space wall, you know, that force field that he's got.
Yes.
And he sees is that little rock hole. And he squeezes his way through like a dog too big for its dog door.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just kind of wedged in it at one point, like just stuck and just waving his arms about.
That's commitment to acting.
Exactly it is. Or he was really stuck.
Oh, also maybe that.
So the centerpiece of this movie, I would say, the thing that people will remember is the finale of this, which is a shitty metal gantry, as you mentioned.
Well, see, that's the thing. It feels this bit feels the most like an original series episode, which is just styrofoam rocks and people fist fighting.
No doubt a set or location that they've visited before
in previous
seasons, no doubt. And it's just old men slowly clambering over rocks the entire time. Also, and I know you mentioned it, I don't get it. Because Zorin's idea is to shoot a rocket into a space ribbon or a rocket into the sun.
Yes, that's the correct one,
That's going to get him into the Nexus because of the sun explosion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fucking, what does that even mean? What is any of that? He's just got a, like, just a loose rocket on the ground. Like, that's his grand plan, a metal gantry and just an exposed rocket.
Well, it was going to work, wasn't it?
Apparently. Well, I mean, he'd obviously, he figured it out, hadn't he?
If that button-down Kirk and that renegade Picard hadn't put their nosy beaks in, then he would have done it, wouldn't he? But yeah, don't really think I thought about it at the time. But it seems like when you're in the Nexus...
Yeah, time has no meaning or something.
But also, everyone seems pretty aware that it's not real in there.
Like immediately?
Like immediately. You're like, oh yeah, this isn't...
Because I was just in an explosion. Right? Like a big explosion happened.
Right?
Like I pulled out into space.
Yeah.
And now I'm making bread or something.
And now I'm hanging out with all my wife and my kids.
Yeah.
Who I know are dead or maybe never even really existed. But I guess this is fine.
I guess this is fine.
You know what? Read a book. Don't destroy a sun to get the ribbon at you so you can bloody...
Go into a weird fake reality.
Yeah, go into the best fake reality of them all, a book.
Or a holodeck, which is essentially...
Oh, that's even better, to be honest.
Because you can leave?
Yes, whenever you want.
That's actually a really good point that I just made that I didn't realise. It's just a holodeck, isn't
it? Maybe they shouldn't have started the movie with the holodeck bit.
Because
then there wouldn't be a feasible alternative. You'd be like, damn, I wish there was some sort of computer-generated environment that I could live in forever and just spontaneously generate food and exciting adventures. Oh, wait, there is.
You know what it should have been?
What's that?
Data pushes someone off the ship. They actually fall, break their neck on the holodeck, and then they go, if only there was some kind of space ribbon nexus.
That's right.
That would have none of the flaws of an actual holodeck. If only!
That's right.
Yeah.
Although Beverly Crusher was pretty upset that she got so wet. So
that's true.
She got pushed in the water.
It was a real slow-mo fall, wasn't it? A couple of those in this movie, isn't there, for some reason?
Mm-hmm.
Just slow enough so you can see that it's a stunt person. I love it. That's perfect filmmaking. Well done, everybody.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Anyway, I love that Kirk just dies. He just tumbles off the gantry or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh my, and he's dead. And then
I didn't remember that being his final words.
What do you think he should have been? Bury me with my wig.
I reckon it should have been, he should have said like a really high number and then be like, that's the number of women I banged. Green-skinned women, blue-skinned women. I didn't discriminate. Oh, now I'm dead.
I love how also they just, he doesn't take him back to his ship or anything or give him a, like Spock got an amazing funeral. Mm. Everybody knows that. Even my non-nerd friends who beat me up know that's an amazing funeral. Uh-huh. Much parodied and much homaged. Mm. But in this, he just shoveled a pile of rocks on him.
Right?
Come on.
In many ways, it's what he deserved.
That's not wrong. So do you know though, Kirk's death scene was actually reshot. Mm-hmm. After preview audiences reacted badly to the original version and they wanted a more heroic death.
How does he die in the original?
Well, originally he died after being shot in the back.
Oh.
But these are like apples and oranges, I feel, right? Gantry shot in the back.
If I could remember what he was doing when he fell off the gantry, it might seem more heroic.
He was running across a gantry.
Oh, that's right, he was. Yes, he had the, got the remote.
Yeah.
Stop the rocket.
Had to stop the rocket.
Had to stop the rocket.
From shooting the sun or whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know, and this kind of blows my mind, this was the first movie to have a website created to promote it.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
It's still up to this very day?
No, it's not. I checked.
Okay, right.
I know. Believe me. I had to poke around. It's not like the Space Jam website, which you can still visit. Not a joke. You can visit that website. Right. Also, the thing about this movie is the way they kept costs down, and it's kind of evident, is that a lot of it's done on the cheap in terms of recycling uniforms and equipment and even explosions. You know that Warbird explosion?
Yes.
That's in like literally every movie from the
80s? It's true, yeah.
It's in this one again. But there's a pretty good Enterprise crash, one of the 17 times that that ship actually ends up crashing. Mm-hmm. But what I want you to tell the audience about, and mostly just me,
All right. Maybe he's hoping I know whatever this is.
Kirk's not really dead, is he, in this universe?
Oh, he isn't. That's
Please explain what the situation is here. Last on-screen appearance.
Yes. So in the Star Trek cinematic universe, the original timeline, yes, Captain Kirk is dead. However, canonically, he is not dead in a series of novels written by William Shatner, the actor who portrays Captain Kirk in what we call the Shatnerverse.
Yes.
So that's a series of... So after the events of this, William Shatner, who also, of course, wrote the Tech War novels.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah, of course. He wrote one novel set, I think, 6 months before the events of Generations to, I guess, set up his eventual return.
Yeah.
In which Spock comes to pay his respects to Kirk's grave, and then notices like a transporter transporting the body away, and he's like, "What devilry is this?" Right?
Well, he wouldn't say devilry. No, he'd be like, "What technology that exists in this universe is
transporter,
this?"
Transporter, I recognize it. Yeah, and then the next book is set after the events of this movie, in which he's resurrected by the Borg, and then
does he get all the Borg stuff?
No, they just bring him back. Yeah, I know. What's the point of being resurrected by the Borg if you don't get all the cool stuff and the bionic eye and the robot arm?
That's
and
true,
stuff?
Yeah.
Exactly.
For, our listeners didn't get that, but I gave you a weird look in between.
Oh, yeah, right.
just to clarify.
It was a very long, weird look. If I remember correctly, and there's no guarantee that I do,
sure.
The Borg bring him back in order to kill, I think, Picard. Like, they want to assassinate Picard because they've had run-ins with Picard before, obviously. And they're like, this will be a covert way to do it. Really? You think so? That guy you definitely saw die?
Yeah, that seems... So what, he just walks up to him and is like, he's like their version of the Terminator?
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
No, he's not. He's just regular Captain Kirk.
And he thinks he's going to kill Picard for them.
Right.
He's a loose cannon.
Or
is he?
Don't know. Or a pencil pusher. We don't know. And then there's the third one, which I don't know if I read. But it's just the further adventures. I think they give him another ship and they're like, go and be Captain Kirk again. He's like... Right on.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll try. I'm so cool.
Am I younger than before?
Yep.
Sure.
Absolutely. Younger and sexier than ever. Yeah.
You got a ponytail now. That's what you've always wanted.
Certainly. He does, and he's got some love interests in the books as well. They're like, oh my God, are you the Captain Kirk? And he's like, yeah, but robot boner as well. So don't even worry about it.
So I got some trivia here. What's this section called again? Hey, it's trivia.
What do we call it?
It's trivia.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, it's trivia.
Hot times, fast trivia.
That's right. Thomas Dekker, who plays John Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, mm-hmm. plays one of the fictional children of Picard.
Oh, hello, father.
Hello, father. What do you think of this fictional universe? I don't like it. He didn't like it.
He didn't like it. It's true.
I do like that they delve into his family in this, how he's the last in his lineage. Mm. That I enjoyed. I didn't completely hate this, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's just quite boring for a lot of this movie.
Yeah.
And I know that's like a hallmark of Star Trek. That's right, I said it.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not. Because I know Star Trek is supposed to be, there's a methodical nature to it, and it's characters, and it's solving quandaries, you know what I mean, and
for
things
sure,
like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this doesn't do the action or that well. So
sure,
it's just
okay,
kind of
yeah,
like
right.
it's middling uh-huh. on both counts. At one point also, producers considered approaching Marlon Brando to play Soren. Can you imagine how terribly that would have turned out?
Spock's father? Wait, who's, oh, Soren, oh, yeah. The Malcolm McDowell character, yeah,
yeah.
right. Imagine those fist fights.
Oh, my goodness.
Good Lord.
Because he did the Island of Dr. Moreau
That's
around
true.
This time
yeah.
and ruined that movie, by all accounts. Just a terrible bloke doing pretty mediocre acting, you know, at that point in
while
his
sitting
life.
Sitting in a lawn chair. That's
yeah,
pretty
that's right,
much.
Exactly. So imagine that gantry
Kirk
showdown.
Kirk Picard, you'll not stop me. I've got this remote and I'm sitting in this lawn chair.
Oh, he's died by himself.
No. Oh, no.
And the other thing is, William Shatner, he's a horse rider from way back. You probably noticed that.
He's a good, yeah, good in those horses.
You know he is. He actually used an old trick of wearing something unusual underneath his costume to keep the pants up. So they actually, the starship captains, both of them, are wearing pantyhose.
Oh, there you go.
Pants. So there you go. Little handy hint out there if you're a horseman and you're thinking, do some horse stuff, but how my pants keep falling down.
They kept falling down with that like doing sound effect. And then my like dicky bow bib keeps flipping up in my face. I'll never have a fine night at the opera like this.
Yeah, so apparently no belts in the future, I guess. So look, all in all, I didn't... Whatever, what do you think?
I'm more... Look, I...
As a send-off, I mean, come on.
No, it was not a great send-off. It was good. I have a more positive opinion of it now than I think I did back in the day, because I think at the time I'm like, oh my God, they're going to team up both the captains. This is going to be amazing, and it wasn't amazing.
Imagine how many chicks are going to root, you said.
That's right, exactly.
When you were 10 or whatever
yeah,
this came
exactly,
out.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, and that's the thing. Maybe also because I was let down because it was like it was on the big screen.
Yeah, right.
And it felt kind of middling. But seeing it on a TV
sure.
felt more like an episode of the TV yep. series. I'm fine with that, you
that's
know?
That's fair enough. I can't argue with any of those points that you've made just then to us and listeners and viewers. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Can't argue with any of that.
Okay, you cannot argue with it.
Look, what do you guys think of this movie? You're allowed to like it, I guess. anyone's allowed to like anything.
It's a free country.
I can see
and
how
the world.
Yeah, I can
not the whole thing.
Not the whole thing. There's parts. Well, let's not get into it. But
but I give you license to feel however you feel about this movie, even if you're in a country that doesn't allow free speech.
But I am curious though, if you're a fan of the original series and also Next Generation, how is this in terms of that?
Yeah. Let us know that. Let us know your favourite Star Trek movie. Maybe we'll watch another one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we'll watch another odd-numbered one.
Do you reckon we should go through the Next Generation films? Look, we've got a Patreon. We throw polls up all the time.
Maybe
I'll put it up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you want to make James watch Star Trek The Motion Picture?
Oh, God.
A movie that is even more boring than this movie. That James definitely will hate.
I'll put a poll up.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Which of the Shatnerverse books is your favourite? Should I reread the third one? Or read it for the first time? I don't know.
Who does know, yeah. Also, of course, here's a hint towards what's coming next week. I don't know what it is again, Mason. I feel like I should be prepared for this, and I never am. Hello, extended audio listeners. This is just for you.
That's right. We're watching William Shatner's Tech War. Where he was a guy in a big coat with big shoulders.
That's right.
He was like, it's the future and you've got to stop drugs or something. Watch out.
Speaking of the future.
Yes?
Of all the year 1983 where this movie is set, Westworld. That's what we're coming back to next week.
That's right, yeah.
So there we go.
Very exciting.
Also, of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. We talk a bit of Picard now and then, a bit of Star Trek, a bit of the news of the week, though, isn't it? That's how we get into it, and then a topic.
Yep.
I'm Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
See you guys in the next Caravan of Garbage.
Oh, also, I should point out, Kirk is more of a serial monogamist.
Mm.
A lot of people, he's got a reputation.
Yeah.
If you look at his dating history throughout the series, it's called Kirk Drift. It's a... People assume that he's a real, space Lothario, but he's not really.
I do not believe you.
That's true.
I'm going to look into this.
You should look into it.
I'm going to ask everybody I know, all my friends. Okay. I'm going to take such a beating.
You are going to, but it's going to be worth it.
I believe so.
Okay, grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.